Evening.
Hey guys.
Yeah, that was Kelly. She just announced she's leaving. She's not sticking around for this. Molly, I see it's 6 o'clock, and I think we have everybody, correct?
All righty, we'd like to call the meeting to order. Have a moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag United States of America, and to the Republic for
which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Taking
roll, Mrs. Rohr.
Yay.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Can you hear me?
No, you are on mute.
I'm here.
Mrs. Fenn.
Present.
Dr. Good.
Present.
Mr. Hirschberger.
Here.
Can I have a motion to approve the September 14th, 2020 agenda?
So moved.
And a second?
Here.
Any discussion? Ms. Fenn?
Yes.
Ms. Rohr?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Dr. Good?
Yay.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yes.
Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the July 28th, 2020 special meeting and the August 10th, 2020 regular meeting?
So moved.
And a second?
Here.
Any discussion?
Yes, there's the Roman numerals starting with number 6 need to be corrected, please.
Anything else? We'll go ahead with the vote. Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mrs. Rohr?
Yes.
Dr. Good?
Yay.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
I don't believe there's a need for an executive session at this time. TJ?
No.
So moving on to student recognition and introduction of guests. Todd?
We do not have any student recognition tonight. And Mr. Rodriguez will mention some things in his report regarding athletics and students. And we have no guests that I'm aware of tonight.
So we'll move on to public participation. You can wave your hand, unmute yourself, and indicate you would like to speak. I don't see anyone asking to speak. Is anyone else? Am I missing anybody? I don't see anything in the chat feature as well. If not, we'll move on. We'll go ahead on to the superintendent's report. Todd?
Oh, it's difficult to see that my tongue is sticking in my cheek at this point in time, but I know the principals are going to get a giggle. But we did a 16-hour training on Title IX. It may have been some of the most exciting trainings I've ever been to in my entire career. Lawyers presented it. Lawyers gave it. and 16 hours. So by law, we have to put new Title IX regulations. The district is working on the board policy. It'll be Mrs. Ben and I are working through that and getting a policy through together with OSBA. But we had to get trained, and we all were, to give employees an opportunity. We have to have a group of investigators, a group or person that could be a decision maker, and then the coordinator, which that will be me. I will be the Title IX coordinator. The investigators will be Mrs. Ollinger, Mrs. Sizemore, Mr. Seeker, Mr. Marshall, and Mrs. Hughes. The decision makers is after they investigate any type of employee misconduct that would fall under the Title IX, sexual misconduct. The decision makers, Mrs. Schrock, Mr. Rodriguez, and Mrs. Shafraff would be in the decision maker that would go to, and then it move on to the coordinator if there is an appeal. Usually what's going to transpire is the principal and or director would handle it, but it could be one of those people that are involved in the issue themselves in some way, shape, or form. So then it goes on, and sometimes it's just more comfortable if you have a female handling the investigation or a male handling investigation, or sometimes you're better off having the team handle the investigation and getting different perspectives, regardless if it's a classified or certified employee. Now, we've had no problems or no issues, but we have been through the training. They've all been through it. Anybody that I just named could be a coordinator, could be a decision maker, or be an investigator. So I kind of divided up the teams and split it up to represent the entire district at each level and before it gets to me at the coordinating level. So I'm hoping to have a rough draft or the first draft at the October meeting for our new board policy regarding this new law that's taken place. Secondly, our business advisory council, we work through the Wayne County and Tri-County ESC, and they meet and go with businesses and look for a career and pass for our students, and we get that information to them. Recently, we met the guy, myself and Mr. Marshall, met with Dan Large, president and CEO of Midwest PolyPack. And they are located right here in Doylestown. We talked about how we could be better partners with each other, needs that they may have. They are literally going to be the first company in the United States to design a new product. He wouldn't tell us what it was. He said right now at entry, they have entry-level jobs for those that are recent graduates, and he would like to hire Chippewa graduates and part-time work for those that are maybe staying home from college and are looking for a 4 to 6 hour part-time job. He has jobs of walking the door right now. He said he can't even sell any more products because he doesn't have enough employees to create what they need. So we had a good solid 1 hour conversation. We're going to tour his plant, get an idea of whether we can do interns with him, some career-based intervention, which the old, when I went to school, old OWE, where students start to get their way into the field and learn about Midwest PolyPack and the plastics that they make. So it was a real good conversation. He sounded extremely interested in what we can offer him in terms of kids that want to come in and get into a career field, especially in manufacturing. He talked about scholarships. And so, you know, we continue to work with our business advisory council and find opportunities for our students that maybe want to have a career in plastics. One of the things that I learned that I never knew, that Shawnee State is one of the leaders in terms of plastic engineering. And he would be willing, if somebody came in and started working with him and got into at the lower level but wanted to go to college, even paying for the college, scholarshiping that person to go down to Shawnee State to get a degree in engineering in plastics. So he is a big sponsor. He's up in our gymnasium. He wants to continue that relationship. So it was a very good meeting, and our guidance counselors will take the lead from here moving forward with that and working with kids. Another one on our reports is back when they started near the middle of my first year, I reported I didn't understand our electric and gas bills. I was playing catch up with those and why we were on variable rates and riding the market. And, you know, with that, I investigated that and I started to come to the board and ask them to lock in with IGS and lock in for longer periods of time with certain rates. And with that, you also stop paying pooling charges. So that's when you're pulling more gas or more electric over periods of time. So for example, if September would have one of the five hottest days this year, January 1 to December 31st, that would be a pooling rate that would be pulled into what our variable rate would be. And it starts to build from there. And we were paying on a variable rate. So as we were using more electricity, our rate would go up and then we'd hit a hot day running air conditioning in buildings and it continued to build our rates. So I started to lock into it. And what I sent you today, you can see that since May of 2019, I have saved this money every month on gas and electric except for three. And the 3 months that we did not save money, I lost $70, $20, and $56. But in every other month, I've saved the district $11,046 so far as of August 31st. And we've had locked in the previous meeting for another 3 years at the current electric rate that we're paying today. So assuming electric rates are going to go up over the next 3 years, ours won't budge. So that saving should only increase along with the savings has been the LED lighting that we've, you know, put in the buildings and looking at then upgrades we did also. So that's part of knowing what those savings are electric wise, what it would take to bring Hazel Harvey up the line with a new HVAC system, gas and electric and those pooling charges. We're starting to look through and see what our actual savings are, and I'll continue to monitor that. Now, it sounds great today. I run that disclaimer at the bottom of the paper that if for some reason all the energy prices go down, gas and electric, you know, we're locked in. I just don't foresee that happening. So I got an update from Kayla Rogers, and she believes not only on the savings with that and the savings on the pooling charge, that we saved $1,800 since May of 2019 just in pooling charges, that we'll continue to be able to save money for the district in terms of gas and electric. So those were the three big updates that I had. I spent about an hour on the phone today with the nurse from the Wayne County Health Department and the director from the Wayne County Health Department, two separate phone conversations. Regarding not only our plan, but the reporting and the feedback that we get from them. And one of my biggest concerns is Mr. Rodriguez, myself, and Mr. Seeker were changing, when I say this, tracking down rumors Friday night on the phone regarding whether somebody was a positive or a negative on a COVID test. And we literally were chasing them down. And so I contacted them not only about us, the rumors we get and how we can improve the communication, but also wanted to run our plan by them. And so the suggestions we got were, when it first came out, we liked tying ourselves to the state's red. We were able to identify it. They were giving updates that came in over the weekend, and they were updating us on Thursdays, and we would then be able to adjust whether Friday was a shutdown or get prep day, and then turn it into next week to the instructional setting that we needed to keep our kids and staff safe. What has since come out, they can now, they're breaking it down by zip codes. So on this latest blended learning plan, Wayne County was a hot county, the red county, Chippewa in the zip codes that make up our school district was not where the hot spots were in the county. And so we have that information with us now and that we're able to look at that. Also, they have the information to tell us why we are having a rise. And in this past, you know, in this scenario coming through here, we could see I had zero cases in the school system. We had a staff member on quarantine. It was getting tested. We had some kids who had parents that were going to get tested, but we were in school with zero cases. But still, that was our plan. We stuck to our plan. We did a deep cleaning. We did a deep cleaning on the buses with the potential that one of our bus drivers was going to get tested. So we felt really good. He applauded us for our plan, thought the plan was very good in terms of safety, but thought also at the same point that the other school districts around us were still in, and that majority of the hot cases or the hot areas were centered around senior living centers, not the schools themselves. And it wasn't an issue with athletic teams, and it wasn't an issue with kids. It was directed into that. So what my recommendation is to amend the plan to include those two factors to come into it. One, we're listed by a hot county. I want to be able to respond to anybody saying, okay, what are you doing? Yes, Wayne County is listed red by the state, but our area by zip code is not the reason. We have to report our cases anyway. I haven't reported any cases. The areas that are around us are senior center homes, and unfortunately, that seemed to be centered in Worcester and Orville on the latest map, had nothing to do, and anybody can go to the map and see it on the Wayne County Health Department's webpage, has nothing to do with our schools, and we had no cases in the school. Doesn't mean we shouldn't take precautions, but you know, we were looking at shutting down events with our kids in order to keep everybody safe. So my recommendation is going to be look to amend the plan, include the state, include the Wayne County Health Department and map in their hot areas by zip code, but also include that communication back and forth from the Wayne County Health Department. If we're not a hot area or we're not seeing an increase in terms of students or members of our community, that we wouldn't have to go to a blended plan or go to 100% online. Like I said, we was able to work that out today. Mr. Cascarelli has been fantastic. The nurse there said, yes, you should be able to help me with that information. Gave me a direct contact line to her and to Nick. And so I feel that we could still keep our kids safe, use all the information that's available to us and amend our plan. Yes, Katie has me totally distracted with that little one. Hi, Jameson. So I kept on looking. I'm trying not to look at the little guy. Such a good looking kid. So, but you know, that's the discussion. I'd like to get some feedback from the school board if they had any other thoughts or anything else I should take into consideration, or leave it the way it is. All right, I'm going with silence. We're 100% in favor of moving forward with the amended plan that I brought forward.
Yes, you mean by taking into consideration the zip code information?
Zip code and
yes,
and the communications with the director of the Wayne County
right.
Health Department.
Right.
Yes, great idea. Thank you for the improvements, Todd.
So if the board has no other questions regarding my presentation items, I'm going to move on to Mr. Rodriguez first. Mrs. Hughes is next on my screen, so that's how the order will go.
All right. Good evening, everybody. I would just give you a quick update. Obviously, the first few weeks have been a little bit crazy, but I just want to first thank our staff and students who have done just a phenomenal job. Obviously, no one's prepared for what we've gone through, and even the quick change into last week and this week. The staff and students and parents have been phenomenal. So I just wanted to thank all of them. The education, obviously we have some that are on the Acellus program, which is online. We also have the kids that are coming here. And then this last week and this week coming up, we have a hybrid where kids are online on Google Classrooms and coming to school. It's been quite the learning experience. And I thank some of our students and parents who have reached out to us because they're working with these programs online each and every day. And I know that our staff is continually finding things to better the situation for our students at home. Unfortunately, the trainings were canceled in the spring and summer, so we weren't able to get all the trainings, but I just give a lot of kudos to our staff and a handful of parents who have reached out to us in a very positive manner and just helped us through this process. So the other piece, our athletics, a thank you to Don, Vicky, our maintenance, Rob, everybody. It has been an incredible undertaking that our athletic director, administrative assistants in here, even some students are cutting tickets for every event, numbering tickets for every event, stamping tickets for every event. Thank you to our coaches who are selling them for every single game, home or away. We had OHSAA in Friday, and the reports that I was getting early on was, you know, we did a very nice job. We did stream the last two football games. The last game we did have a play-by-play, which I ended up getting some really positive feedback. I know that we're going to try to branch that out into a couple other sports as well. Excuse me. Basically, we've never streamed any of our sporting events. So football was the first one that went, and then we'll be looking at getting some of the other events as well, knowing now what parts we need to put into place. But I just want to thank everybody, Mr. Osborne too, who has gotten some phone calls from myself late on the evenings, weekends, Sundays, Saturdays, to work through the whole COVID, the rumors, those types of things. And we just appreciate the support moving forward.
Thank you, Matt. Jody?
So to piggyback and echo much of what Mr. Rodriguez just discussed, we have been working through lots of hurdles leading up to the start of the school year, just with the unknowns of COVID and what that would look and sound like for all students, but especially our very youngest students. There was some back and forth as far as, do they wear masks? Do they not wear masks? At what age do we have them wearing masks all day long throughout the day? So I've been very, very pleased with the way that has gone. All of our students K through second grade are now wearing masks all day. They do have mask breaks intermittently, and that was as provided by guidance through the health department. Preschool is not having to wear masks in their classrooms, but they do wear them in the common areas as well as on the buses, much like our other K-12 students. So I really, really have been so appreciative of the parents' support with sending the children to school every day with those masks and their reinforcement and encouragement of the mask wearing while at school, because it takes more than just us encouraging that at school on a day-to-day basis. So that has gone really well. From an educational standpoint, we too have students that are in person. We have students that have elected to be online from the start of the school year. And now over this last week and this week, we have the hybrid. And that has gone very, very well. So a big thumbs up to our parents that have gotten on board with logging into their Google Classrooms before the start of the school year began and going there quite frequently just to retrieve information from our teachers. Getting into that practice is going to help them as we transition to an online model, whether it's just sporadically throughout the year or if we get to an all online at some point. So that has been really, really helpful that we've had that parent support so far. Everything else is going really well. For right now, we have students in the correct placements for their learning. We had students come in 3 days during our professional development week to do some screenings, knowing that we did not have any data currently for any of our students prior to last February or March. So that was really, really helpful with getting our students to start off where they left off and being able to move their learning forward. So thank you to the board. Thank you to our administration team and to all of our staff for their hard work in helping get this school year up and going.
And I'll jump in next. I am echoing both Matt and Jody in the fantastic support that we've had from our staff and our students and our families. Truly, they've all been very appreciative and encouraging through this entire process. We at CIS have worked through our arrival and dismissal. We had a larger amount of students who were being picked up by families this year than we've ever had. So we went through a new dismissal process, and with the help of Officer Nate and staff, we've been able to, you know, get all of those cars in the back lot of CIS without blocking the road for too long and getting students to their families safely at the end of the day. It's gone very well. I have to just say thanks to our families, our staff, and our students because of the flexibility that they have shown through this process. They have jumped in with knowing that things were going to be changing, and they've done a great job. I am very encouraged by how things are going. We have a lot of students who are going outside for classes right now and really enjoying being in different parts of the CIS area. Sometimes if you happen to drive by, you'll see them outside in the front area or along the side. And then some of them have been going back by the baseball field and using bleachers and stuff for class time as well. And it's gone really, really well, and it allows the students to have a mask break during that time too, when they can be spread out and be outside. Our online students have done a fantastic job, and again, echoing what has already been said, it's because they've had a lot of parent support at home that we're very appreciative of. And we, I think that we continue to make positive progress throughout this. And we truly, as an administrative team, you know, appreciate Todd's support, but also appreciate the board's support through all of this as well.
Thank you. I'm not sure Chrissy was able to make it tonight. I don't see her listed down here before, but we believe Chrissy's been working back through this, and we work back through our grants and those pieces, that we're going to be able to offer free lunches up till December 30th. And we're working through that and getting the letters out. I'm not sure exactly when that goes back out. I knew we were supposed to transition back to paid lunches, and now I think we're going to transition back again to free. So I'm working through that piece, but I was hoping Chrissy would be able to join us for a little bit more updates on that. But outside of that, I think I have no more updates. Molly, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Todd. We'll take a voice call acceptance of superintendent's report. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Report accepted. Moving on to the treasurer's consent agenda, which we'll have a roll call vote at the end of. First item is to approve payment to the School Employees Retirement System of Ohio, PO21000404, for $34,052.08, retroactive to September 3rd, 2020. Item B is to approve the contract with the Midland Council of Governments, TCCSA, for district sites fees for the 2020-2021 school year, not to exceed $190,000. Item C is to approve to accept the year-end financial report as attached. Item D is to approve the donation of 106 laptops from J.M. Smucker Company, valued at approximately $15,900. Item E is to approve the purchase of 205 Chromebooks from Second Gear in the amount of $53,365 to be paid for with the Coronavirus Relief Fund and ESSER funds. And item F is to authorize the treasurer to reimburse families for the overpayment of school fees for open enrolled students, a copy of which is attached hereto and incorporated herein. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
And a second?
Here.
Any discussion?
Molly, it's not so much as a discussion as the year-end financial review. Is that the same as the year-end financial report?
The numbers are the same. The information was presented in a different format, so you had it graphically as well as in a table form.
Yeah, on those pie charts were nicely done, and I was wondering if that could be put online.
Absolutely.
I think that makes it very, very concise and easy to understand. Thank you.
Certainly. Any other discussion? All in favor to accept the agenda as presented?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to the superintendent's consent agenda. Todd, would you like me to read it?
Sit down. We have, I'm trying to see if I hit every letter in the alphabet. I stopped at Y though. All righty. I'll kind of take mine going through this. Is we have several contracts that come up that we have students that use different facilities, or we contract with different companies to provide services for our kids. And so those will be listed in here. We have several staff hirings, which take up a lot of space to come through. So I will go through all of these, all the way up to Y. I will stop to explain the ones that I think that people may want to have a question about, and to be able to answer any questions when I'm finished, if anybody has any. But letter A, approve the contract with GCL Education Services, LLC for the LEAP program for the 2021 school year, not to exceed $28,000, a copy which is attached hereto and incorporated herein. Approve the contract with the Wayne County Board of Development Disabilities for students attending collaborative classrooms for the 2019-2020 school year, not to exceed $109,089.09. A copy of which is attached here to incorporated within. Letter C, approve the contract with the Wayne County Board of Development Disabilities for students attending collaborative classrooms for the 2020-2021 school year, not to exceed $75,000, a copy of which is attached here to and incorporated herein. Letter D, approve the contract with the Educational Service Center of Northeast Ohio for students with visual impairments and braille services for the 2020-21 school year, not to exceed $43,000, a copy of which is attached here to and incorporated herein. Letter E, approve the contract with the Cleveland Sight Center for orientation and mobility services for the 2020-2021 school year, not to exceed $1,300, a copy which is attached here to and incorporated herein. Letter F, approve the contract with LL Therapy for occupation and physical therapy services for the 2020-21 school year, not to exceed $95,000, a copy which is attached here to incorporated herein. Letter G, approve to hire criteria architect Garmin Miller, a copy which is attached here to and incorporated herein. I just want to pause here. They have been fantastic to work with. If I have a question, I call. And they actually are beating me to the spot with an email, trying to keep up to date. They're already starting to do the legwork. I know we picked them through our interviews. The contract is here within. They're ready to get started in terms of interviewing the board to make sure they have all of our ideas forward, and then meeting with staff and key stakeholders in the community and students. So I talked to a couple other superintendents who've worked with them, and everything that they said is exactly true. They've been a true pleasure to work with. And anytime that I have a phone call or a message, they are back to me almost immediately if I have to leave that message. So that's attached here within. Approve the 6-week medical leave of absence for Emily Baddock. The estimated effective date would start December 10th, 2020. Approve another 6-week medical leave for Laura Noble. Estimated effective date would be November 2nd, 2020. Asking you to approve the retirement of Teresa Stevens, Central Intermediate School Assistant Secretary, effective November 1st, 2020. If I remember correctly, she served with us for 25 years, and her last day will be October 31st with us. I mean, November 1st with us. Approved to accept the resignation of Tori Bennick, Hazel Harvey, Assistant Secretary, effective August 11th, 2020. Tori helped us out for a couple years since I've been here with that, and she's just choosing to resign at this point in time. Approved the resignation of Marnita Lorenzen, Chippewa Intermediate School. Currently, she was a third grade teacher, effective September 4th, 2020. Another longtime employee of the district, impacted a lot of lives here in the district and with the students in her classroom, and she'll definitely be missed. Approve the hire of the following classified substitutes for the 2020-21 school year, retroactive to August 24th, 2020. As you look down through that list, many of them serve the district as a substitute in different areas. And when we get to the hiring, as I tell these people, those that looking for a full-time job, we pull from our sub list first, or people on our tutors into our teaching piece, we pull into that list first. So we have a good group of substitutes here willing to help us out. Letter N, approve the following hires for one-year contract for the 2020-2021 school year. Some of those, you know, are going to be with us for a year, replacing employees that are out on sick leave, and, you know, they may return, but in the meantime, we need them for the entire, you know, school year or calendar year. So if we move, as you look down through that list, if you have any questions regarding any of those, and we'll get a chance here at the end to ask. Approve the following continuing contracts. Patricia Barr and Terry Jung. Letter P, approve the following game and event workers for Chippewa Athletic Events for the 2020-21 school year. These are gate workers, ticket takers. And some of them provide other duties within the stadium, whether it's security, keeping the score, keeping the clock, and what have you. Letter Q, approve 2 extended days per diem for Karen Funk due to a change in teaching assignment. What that is we started the school year and her assignment changed from what it was over the summer. So we give her 2 extra days to prep for the year at her per diem. So that's what those 2 extended days are for. Approve the substitute nurse pay rates for the 2020-21 school year, depending on their level of education, would be their sub rate. Approve the auxiliary service one-year contract for Saints Peter and Paul for the following. These are funded with auxiliary and IDAB funds, retroactive to August 17th. Elizabeth Voigt, who's a tutor, and Crystal Hirschberger will be replacing Nancy Adams, who has retired, and doing that one day a week for 3 hours per day. If you'll look down, Crystal's also going to be, I'm going to ask for her, recommend her employment as our assistant secretary at Hazel Harvey. Approve the following staff to be moved on the salary scale for the 2020-2021 school year. So those 5 names are listed there. The letter U, approve the following supplemental contracts for the 2020-21 school year. The after-school detentions, that's up to $20 an hour. And we'll be adding Joan West as a mentor at CIS for one of our younger teachers, and that's listed there at the bottom. The letter V, approve the agreement with Strategic Management Solutions for the federal E-rate program for the funding years 2021, 2022, and 2023, a copy of which is attached here to incorporated here within. They handle all our government grants that total very close to about $100,000. They're experts in it. It takes a lot of work for that. And so they do provide that. And I would say majority of the schools, if not all, use some type of company to do this for them, to manage this piece of these the E-rate program for them. It is a monster thing to take care of. Letter W, approve the Chippewa Athletic Department game day protocols and procedures as required by the Ohio Department of Health. A copy is attached here too and incorporated within, here within. The letter X, this is a second reading of the facial covering. And all that is listed out for you. And we covered extremely in depth the last time. So that is a lot of items that are on there with that. Are there any particular, obviously I'm going to hand this back over to Molly, but are there any particular questions about a particular item that I could clarify for anybody? I know it was a huge packet, so sometimes that information gets a bit confusing, but I know it was all in your packets.
Item Y.
Well, I have a question about the nurse pay. Is that different from last year?
Nope.
Okay, thank you.
And Todd, I just wanted to make sure it looked like the year we had for letter B was 2019-2020 in the board packet, and that's what it states. I just wanted to make sure. So we must pay that more to
yes.
The okay, I just wanted to make sure. And I am glad about the policy for the face coverings, that it already includes the measures you're going to put into place, noting the local health department and what have you. So I was happy to see that we had that in there.
Okay, thank you. Oh, and why? Oh, almost, I missed why. I heard somebody yell why out and I'm probably a second there.
That's okay.
So good catch, whoever threw out why, because I like you. All right, why? We're approving a contract with one of our attorneys. We have two separate groups that represent us. This is with Peters, Khalil, and Markakis. Let me go through this. The lawsuit states that Purdue Pharmaceuticals lawsuit knew that OxyContin would cause problems in addiction. The court put all the separate lawsuits in the one packet, in one big pie, and there was a $10 billion placed in a settlement fund as the company went to bankruptcy. So as all of these things come forward, you're going to hear crazy numbers. The first time I was made aware of it, based on the formula in this $10 billion, Chippewa could receive up to $2.7 million in damages. I have no idea what we have to prove. What is being asked here with letter Y with the law firm is they will handle all the legalese stuff with the major company that is handling the federal lawsuit. All the schools that are part of it, I believe are attaching this, about every school and our Tri-County ESC is a part of that, they will then advise us as to what's actually going on and what it's gonna be. We have no idea what this payout will look like. Usually, there's a payout in terms of training. They'll train people to deal with addictions in schools, educating, whether they pay for classes or hours, but to educate the teachers and all employees that have to work with children. Programs, they offer programs. This is kind of where DARE came along and other programs. And then there's cash. I'll take the cash. But expect this to take 3 to 5 years. The fee is capped on the back end with the federal government that we don't have to pay into. If there's any type of monetary settlement, we give up 20%. If there's no monetary settlement, we don't owe Markakis anything. So we take it from there and we see where it goes. No settlements. We are part of every school system in the state of Ohio that would have a cap fee that the big law firm has that's running the lawsuit. So we potentially would have some sort of fee involved at the very, very, very back end. It should not be a big number based on the number of school districts that are involved across the United States in this. So anybody that was and other groups. So, that's what I'm asking you to prove there with why. It's extremely low risk, potentially low cost. I'm assuming we're going to end up with something. I don't think it'll be like the cigarettes where we're building schools with the money, but we should, you know, we should end up with somewhere along the line, whether it's programming, training, educating, or cash on the back end. So that's what Y is, proving that to be able to move forward with that law firm. And they are representing the Tri-County ESC and the schools that are in it. Now I have Y. I'll hand it over to Molly for the vote.
All righty, can I have a motion to accept the superintendent's consent agenda?
Motion.
And a second.
Here.
And if we could have a voice call, all in favor.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to new business. We need to appoint a board member as the district delegate for the OSBA annual business meeting to be held virtually on October 29th, 2020 at 6:30 p.m.
In the past.
Any nominations from the floor?
In the past, Dr. Curtis Good has handled this when we went down to the OSBA meeting. I made sure the date was on there, but we do need nominations for this.
I've been thoroughly trained, so I'm happy to do it again if need be.
Dr. Good is my nomination.
I second that.
So make it three.
Curtis.
Good answer.
Do we have anyone else nominated for the board member position going to OSBA?
No, I'm for Curtis.
Is there a requirement for more than one, Todd?
No.
Oh, winner, winner.
Okay, so Dr. Good, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, with joy in my heart.
Then I need a motion from the floor.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Any discussion? If I could have a roll call vote, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, Dr. Good. Alrighty, moving on to item 8. Do we have any additional items of discussion? I don't see any, so we will move on to executive session. I need a motion to move into executive session.
So moved.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Mr. DeAngelis.
Second.
Thank you, TJ. And Ms. Fenn. It is now 6:48 and we will move into executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Todd, will there be anything that we are voting on upon return?
It is possible that we'll have something to vote for upon return. Extremely possible.
So we may see you back.
Yes.
Alrighty, moving into executive session. Thank you. Alrighty, we are back. And it is 7:45 p.m. Taking roll. Mrs. Rohr. You guys all need to unmute yourself.
Sorry, here.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Present.
Mrs. Fenn.
Present.
Dr. Good.
Present.
Mr. Hirschberger.
Yep.
Todd?
I think it's me. I'd like to, yeah, thank you. I'd like to make a motion to approve workshop credit for movement on the pay scale for two teachers, of which Todd will state the names here in a minute. We'll approve the workshop credit as a one-time only procedure through the district. After this, all credits must be pre-approved by our superintendent that fall under the workshop designation. And we will also address this in future negotiations related to workshop credit and pay scale.
Dr. Good made the motion. Can we have a second?
Here.
Any discussion?
I want to state the teacher's name for the record. Kimberly Stanger would be receiving 6 graduate credit hours, and Alex Massera would be receiving 1 workshop credit hour to move on the pay scale. Kimberly would be moving to a master's plus 30. Alex would be moving to the bachelor's plus 150.
So does this motion include that movement?
Yes.
Can you state that again so I can write that down then?
Kimberly Stanger would move to the master's plus 30 on the pay.
She's at MA plus 15. She will go to MA plus 30.
And Alex would move to the bachelor's 150 from bachelor's.
Alrighty, again, we have a motion by Dr. Good, the second by Rohr. Any other discussion? And voting, Dr. Good.
Yay.
Ms. Rohr.
Yay.
Mr. Hirschberger.
Yay.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
And Ms. Fenn.
Yes.
Motion carries. Is there any other further business? Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Dr. Good.
It was.
All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? We are adjourned. It is 7:48 p.m.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a good evening.
Thank you very much.
Be careful.
Good meeting.